Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org. Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, it is Friday, October 5th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end marijuana prohibition right now. Just visit our website at normal.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks, a lot of great stuff in the Normal News weekly press release this week, including the fact that almost 250,000 people have joined the Normal cause up on Facebook. We're going to talk with Normal's outreach coordinator, Ron Fisher, about all of this next week right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. And 1 week from today, folks, the Normal Annual Conference kicks off in Los Angeles, California. You can still register for the Normal Conference up until about Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. You can link up to the Normal Conference right up online at normalaudiostash.com. In a warm-up to next week's Normal Conference start-off, we're going to play some Normal Conference audio from the past here today. We're going to have Bill Maher's Normal Conference speech right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. That's coming up today. But first today, we've got our CelebStoner.com update with Steve Bloom.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom has his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners around the planet. He posts it all along with marijuana news up on the website, celebstoner.com. and he joins us here each Friday. Steve, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Hey there, Chris. What's up?
Well, I am getting ready for Los Angeles next week. It is going to be a huge event out there. Hopefully, we'll have some direct celeb stoner news for you. And there is a lot of celebrity news this week, Steve, starting out with pop star George Michael, who said that he can afford his marijuana. I don't think anybody was worried about that. But I've also seen that he wants to maybe start smoking less pot, he said.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, Michael's always in the news about pot these days. He's kind of the big potted pop star of England. And over the last few years, he's acknowledged his marijuana use, and he's said things like, I wish I'd never started smoking pot. It soothes my soul, but it also destroys my voice. I'm addicted to marijuana. I need it to stay creative. I didn't want to take sedatives, so I started smoking marijuana. So, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword for George Michael. You know, he loves it so much that he's apparently addicted to it. And we all know that marijuana is not addictive, but I guess apparently it is for him. And in the last week, he just, you know, had another comment. And his comment was, I would like to take less, meaning referring to marijuana, no question. To that degree, it's a problem. I'm a happy man, and I can afford my marijuana, so that's not a problem. So then the media had a little bit of a hard time figuring out, especially over in England, whether he wanted to quit pot, whether he's having a problem with pot, whether he's not having a problem with pot. All the headlines are pretty funny. You know, one headline is Michael to quit pot. George Michael admits drugs a problem. Drugs aren't a problem, says George Michael. So what are they? You know, he has had problems because he's been asleep at the wheel a few times from drinking and smoking, and he's under a court-ordered community service now for the various arrests that he's had related to, you know, drinking and driving and smoking, whatever else he's been doing. So he's a little bit of a mixed bag on this thing, but he's very upfront about it. And last year he was photographed by ITN, which is you know, one of the popular TV networks over in England, smoking marijuana, and he did it, you know, right on camera. So, and he's apparently going to be in a role upcoming on the TV show Extras over in England, playing a sex-crazed stoner. So, you know, he's not shying away from marijuana at all, and it's interesting. I mean, here's, you know, someone who's, you know, is a big pop star, I mean, with the group Wham and on his own, but he really hasn't done much musically over the last few years. He still tours, but hasn't really created a lot of new music, but he couldn't have done it without marijuana.
Very interesting stuff there, Steve. Also, we covered the story yesterday about the Safer billboard in Denver regarding Ricky Williams. In fact, folks can view that billboard ad right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. But now a Denver Broncos player has tested positive for pot.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Travis Henry, who is actually leading the NFL in running right now, he has the most yards of any player in the league. And he's a player that's moved around the league from Tennessee and Buffalo to now to the Denver, you know, Broncos team. And he had failed a drug test in 2005 and a marijuana test. Most of these guys, if they fail a test, it's usually for marijuana because that's what stays in your system the longest. And he did a four-game suspension back then. So now the rule is if you get busted again on a drug test, you fail another drug test, you are supposed to serve a year-long suspension, which would be a huge, you know, decision, you know, on the part of the NFL to you know, put him on the shelf for a year, especially playing as well as he is. What's interesting about this is that he and his people are challenging the test, that they're saying that they weren't given the opportunity to be at the site where the drug testing facility determines whether it's positive or negative, and they're supposed to have some sort of ability to be on site or to have some sort of involvement with the testing process. He's claiming that he, you know, it's a false test, a false positive, and he's, you know, doing everything he can to protect himself so he doesn't get suspended. Now, so this is going to be an ongoing thing for, I'm sure he's going to play on Sunday because right now they haven't suspended him yet. There's a threat of the suspension because if it isn't indeed a marijuana positive, and he's already has a prior, then he will get a suspension. So what's interesting here is that, you know, the SAFER organization out in Denver and the group that legalized marijuana in Denver, you know, did the billboard this week saying, you know, we want Ricky Williams playing for the Denver Broncos. Ricky Williams, you know, is the, say, number one stoner in football. He left football because he couldn't, you know, play within the rules. He had failed now four drug tests for marijuana. He went on hiatus. He went up to play at the Canadian Football League. He was suspended last year for a year, just like this Travis Henry is being threatened to be suspended, and now he's asked for reinstatement. So the Safer has said, hey, well, if Ricky's going to come back to football, we want him in Denver, and he is under contract to the Miami Dolphins, so it would be the Dolphins would have to release him. So now the Broncos may need a running back, and it would be very interesting if, you know, Travis Henry leaves the team because of a drug test and Ricky Williams, you know, joins the team, you know, having failed numerous drug tests. Something tells me I think they're going to shy away from Ricky Williams after what's happened with Travis Henry. But, you know, it was an interesting, you know, promotional ploy by Safer this week to get a lot of attention, and they did.
Righto. Also, Steve, Mary Louise Parker voted 21st top celebrity stoner on your website, celebstoner.com. She's in a new movie right now, along with her starring role in Weeds.
Yeah, we love her at Celeb Stoner. I mean, the stoners just love her, and it's always a great indication of who wins the polls. And she won the latest Celeb Stoner poll, which is voted on by the readers of the site, pretty handily. She actually beat a normal favorite Rick Steves, who came in second in the voting. Mary Louise got 43.5% of the votes, and Rick Steves got 17.4%, followed by Melissa Etheridge, Wyclef Jean, Jonah Hill, and Jackie Martling, the Joke Man. All, you know, were in that particular poll. But, you know, right now, I mean, I guess she's really tough to beat because she's, you know, on Weeds Weekly every Monday night now, you know, for about another 5 episodes and sort of just about midway through this third season. So, you know, even though Showtime is not as popular as HBO these days or doesn't have quite as many, you know, people out there who subscribe, you know, I think people are catching on to Weeds. They know that Mary Louise Parker plays Nancy Botwin, the suburban pot dealer, you know, in the fictional town of Agrestic on Weeds. And you know, and they just really know what she's about as far as that role. And she hasn't said too much about marijuana, but after she won a Golden Globe Award a few years ago, she said, I'm really in favor of legalizing marijuana. I don't think it's that controversial. And following, she was awarded with a Stony Award last year for 2006 as well. And I was actually, I did the photo shoot with her, or the video shoot, which she couldn't attend the show because she was shooting a movie at the time. So she said that, you know, she would, you know, do an acceptance in advance. And so we went to shoot her. And she was very nice. And at that particular point, she made a comment about medical marijuana, which, of course, has been quite in the news over the last year or more. And she made a comment about that, saying that people should have medical, you know, rights to, you know, to smoke marijuana. So she's definitely, you know, on the right side of this issue. And she is in a new movie right now. She's in The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford, which is a Western featuring Brad Pitt as Jesse James, and she plays his wife.
Well, Steve, this has been a great update here today. And again, we should have some celebrity stoner news direct from the normal conference for you in Los Angeles next week.
Okay, let me know.
All right, man. Thanks again for joining us today, Steve. Steve Bloom has his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners around the planet. He posts it all along with marijuana news on the website celebstoner.com, and he joins us here each Friday. We have links to his site right up on ours at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned. Bill Maher at a past normal conference coming up next.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Internationally recognized media personality and political commentator Bill Maher is part of the Normal Advisory Board, along with the likes of Willie Nelson, Tommy Chong, and Andryan, and many others, might I add. Bill was at a past Normal conference, and we have video of his keynote address right up on the Normal MySpace page. You can link up to that at normalaudiostash.com. Here's audio of Bill Maher at the Normal conference.
Marijuana is extremely helpful. The levity I received last night from going to Bill's show was greatly needed. As a matter of fact, I'm either so profoundly out of shape because of the rib muscle I pulled, or it was really as funny as it appeared to be. And a good chunk of that act is devoted to ending the war on some drugs. It's a real chicken and egg thing. I think everybody who's involved with drug policy reform, particularly those that head up organizations, are constantly confronted with, why aren't more celebrities? Why aren't more politicians? Why aren't more business leaders? Why aren't more civic leaders involved in this? Because we know if they get involved, then self-evidently the laws will change. So in case you've missed it, or in case you've been under a rock for the last 3 or 4 years, Bill Maher took this stand a long, long time ago. So let's introduce Keith to introduce Bill.
What a great scene. You could all stand here. Almost no space here. I'm indeed delighted to introduce our next guest. He had a successful career as a stand-up comic, which he continues to do. His show was wonderful last night for many years before he shook up the airwaves forever by inventing a program called Politically Incorrect. Politically Incorrect, I'm sure most of us know, but it's interesting description I came across. It was once referred to as the McLaughlin Group on Asset. I understand that he's now had more than 1,000 of those politically incorrect shows, winning 3 Cable Ace Awards on Comedy Central before switching to ABC, where he reaches millions of viewers every night. Both on television and in his many public appearances, as we saw last night, Bill has consistently told the truth about drugs and drug policy, displaying true and compassion. He has also added some insightful humor to the subject. For example, when he once suggested for our next drug czar that we consider Keith Richards. Also based his program at the one time at the Maricopa County, Arizona's Kent Prison. He televised from there. He also had a program once where he had both Todd McCormick and Woody Harrelson on to discuss the medical use of marijuana. Important to me, and I know to a lot of the rest of you, is this. Bill doesn't just talk the talk, he does walk the walk. And by that, let me tell you specifically what I mean. Todd McCormick is someone who's dearly beloved by many of us, and Bill Maher has been a one-man lifeline for Todd McCormick for the 3 years he's been in prison. Mark Twain once said that against the force of laughter, nothing stands. When the laws against marijuana are finally repealed, Bill Maher will be a hero and a major part of that change. Yeah. Please welcome Bill Maher.
Country to admit publicly or support publicly the idea of decriminalizing the one drug that never kills anybody. But the reason why it is hard, I think, is, as David was pointing out very well, there is a vast silent majority, and I do mean silent, and it's up to us in this room who have commissioned ourselves to lead this battle to awaken that silent majority and tell them that they can't be silent anymore. I mean, the problem with this drug is complacency. It's not that it's too hard to get. It's too easy. Let me quote you, Mr. Redman, this month in Gear magazine. He said, "Yeah, I used to think let's legalize it so I can smoke all day, but damn, I smoke all day now." And that's the problem, is that the government is so ineffective and inconsistent that it lulls us into this sense of complacency, and we forget about the people who really are suffering, who are arrested for it. Keith is right. I'm here a lot because my friend is in prison, and it hurts me. Not as much as it hurts him, but it bothers me a lot. It makes me mad. It makes me mad that so many hundreds of thousands of Americans are arrested. That is a big number. If that was a disease, people wouldn't stand for it. But that number, and you know, these are Americans. I understand that Americans are not real good at understanding or having empathy for foreigners. That's one thing. But these are your fellow citizens. And, you know, marijuana smokers have a well-deserved reputation of some really good qualities, like being tolerant and open-minded. And these are wonderful things. I just wonder if they haven't hurt us in this struggle, because we should be intolerant of the injustice that is going on. I want us to go anger. You know, the Nixon Commission report was 30 years ago. And we're still here, and we still have to crawl into alleyways like criminals to smoke a joint. And those are the lucky ones who aren't in prison for it. It's the cancer of drug causes. Year after year, the carnage goes on, and we can't find a cure. But the thing is, it shouldn't be as hard as cancer. I mean, it is such a triumph of fear and ignorance over fact and logic that the drug that kills nobody is the illegal one. How would you explain that to an alien who came down? But I'll tell you why that is, and this is important. It's because everything in America is about marketing and image. A bad product, well apologized for, is always better than a good product. It's all about Madison Avenue. The Mayor Bloomberg campaign was a fantastic beginning of getting at people's hearts and minds, but that is where the battle is won. And I think we have been reluctant because we are good people. Like I said, tolerant, open-minded. You know, we're like the Indians. We do not want to use white man's evil ways. So, but we're going to have to use the white man's evil ways. This isn't like the war on terrorism. We can't just win it by putting a flag on our car. So nothing changes in America without the cooperation of two shameless beasts, the media and politicians. And you have to put a human face on this. We have to put a human face on this. We have to do what everybody does, which is manipulate the media and politicians to do things in their interest, because they only do things in their interest. Long gone are the days when the institutions of the media and politicians felt they had a public obligation to do what's right. No, no, we have to appeal to ratings and votes. That's all they care about. How do we make it interesting for them? How do we make it profit them? Well, you know, if someone really wanted to make pot acceptable and they had the kind of money that they have for a McDonald's campaign or to put George Bush in the White House, you could make pot acceptable. You can convince people of anything. George Bush one day became a reformer with results. Imagine convincing people that George Bush was a reformer. Oh yeah, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, George Bush. That's who I think of as the reformers, the real skunk of the garden party. They called him a Washington outsider. And straight out of Compton, this guy, let me tell you. Again, his father was head of the CIA and the president. He's a Washington. Again, it's all how you market it. That is the key, is image. And unless we put a human face on that, unless people who don't smoke pot feel as affected by this as they do by something else they're not connected to. Cystic fibrosis. People don't have that, but they feel for the victims of it. Why can't we do that? Yeah. We gotta do that. The minds that could be turned if the media and the marketing machine got behind showing the true tragedy of so many lives. You know, we need to show on Stone Phillips reports the pot-smoking daddy who never came home. You know, the frosty lens and the news twink sobbing over the plight. That's what moves America. In America, you have to be a victim. It's a victim culture. And the irony is, some of these people really are victims. They're truly victims in a war that we can't win. We should be as offended as everyone else is in America for their bullshit causes. Yeah. You know, when you hear someone support the drug war, be offended.
Yeah.
You know, if they make a bad pot joke, that offends us. Having a little zero tolerance. I have zero tolerance for bullshit. How about that? I have zero tolerance for the ridiculous notion that sobriety is the time-tested route to mind expansion. White man's way number three. It's a disease, okay? Everything in America has to be a disease with a victim. And this is certainly as bad as cancer. Why is cancer a tragedy? Because it robs people of years of their life. Well, my friend Todd McCormick just got robbed of 3 years of his life. It's the same thing. Also, any lawyers in the room? Why can't we sue them? Why can't we sue under the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution? They use the Equal Protection Clause for everything. Bush won the presidency with it. He did. That's what they use. And where is the equal protection? A pot smoker does not have equal protection with the guy who goes home and has six scotches. Why can't the man who goes home and wants to smoke a joint but doesn't because he respects the law and doesn't want to break the law, why can't he sue under the Equal Protection Clause because his neighbor can get high his way? I think our lawyers should look into that. I'm getting a little tired of being treated like a criminal.
Yeah.
Second-class citizen, white people who, through their preference for liquor or pills to mood-alterate themselves, show not a superiority of taste, but an inferiority of taste. White man's way number five. It's a religion.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it be? The Rastas have the right idea. If you say something is religious in America, everybody backs off. That's religious. Hey, the Catholics got away with fucking kids. And no cop ever knocked on the rectory door because it was a religion. So marijuana, which has helped many people with insights of love and brotherhood that I know that Jesus Christ was trying to tell people about. That can't be a religion. It's as much a religion as Catholicism ever was to me. I think it teaches a lot of people about opening up their mind to the things that a religion should want you to open up your mind to. So I think we should all start churches. On Sunday at 1 o'clock, come stone. Designated driver, though. We are not irresponsible. That's important. After church, have a nice church picnic. Everyone will be hungry. White man's way number 6. Economics. That's how you get to people in this country. We're great at one thing, money. People love money. They're greedy. It's a capitalistic country. Make the status quo more uncomfortable. That's when things change, when things become more uncomfortable. Then people can make the change and say they did it for the right reasons. But really, it's because you made it uncomfortable. You notice, like the police, they never bug the rappers about pop because they go, hey, that's just their culture. Well, you know, it's our culture. We want the rapper treatment. Which is acceptance, just acceptance. Okay, now here's the true axis of evil. Politicians, parents, and the prominent. Those are the three P's we have to change. Politicians react to voters, and voters are parents. Somebody in America gets elected by 1/6 of the people. A third are too young, a third don't vote, and a third of that don't vote for the guy. So that's not a lot of people. Who are voters? They generally tend to be older. They tend to be parents, because parents think of themselves as responsible. Fun is over, they have kids. Might as well fucking vote. So when people get in the voting booth, they tend to be hypocrites. They tend to be a lot more conservative. It's like when you get on a plane, even before 9/11, when people got on a plane, it's a very conservative place. No swearing in the movies. It even used to say, there was a sign, no joking. Remember that? And then you'd get through, it would say, resume joking. But, you know, we're on a plane now. Don't fucking make a joke. You know, it's very funny here. This could go down. We're voting now. You know, we have kids. But we have to work on parents. We all have to go from this room and pick parents. That is where the battle has to be won. Parents are the voters. That's who politicians are afraid of. Parents who probably do smoke pot, but feel that the world is such a besieging thing for them and their children that they will do anything to keep marijuana away from their kids. They don't want their kids doing marijuana. They might do it later, but not the kids. That hypocrisy has to be pointed out. We do understand with parents the do everything to protect our children, and we can be good and sympathetic and helpful with that. But doing everything to protect our children turned out to be jailing people, testifying, confiscating property, burning up the crops in other countries. Take care of your own kids without using your fellow citizens as cannon fodder in the war on drugs. Yeah. So work on parents, work on everyone, especially prominent people. There's a lot of prominent people. I'm not going to mention names, Harrison Ford, Ted Turner, who smoke a lot of pot. They need to stand up. I'm not going to mention names. I never do that.
Anyone else?
So candidates need to know that we can mount a sizable number of people who will vote against them if they try to do what Bush and Gore did in the last election. Which was a conspiracy of silence. Neither one of them wanted to mention it because both their hypocrisies were so glaring that they just left it off the field. Because both of them had such an immense drug history in their own lives. They knew firsthand. I could forgive Bob Dole, who was like my father, you know, don't you be shooting pot, you know. That, I could forgive that error. I cannot forgive the Al Gores and George Bushes, who were right there when drugs were fun and not the greatest evil in America. I have one more thing that I want to propose. I'm serious about this. I think what we need is a march. I would like to call it the Smokeless March. Because I think this movement, through not mostly our fault, but some, has an image problem of undisciplined stoners, you know. And when the Million Man March was done in 1995, that was a great thing for black people because the perception in society was that most crime and trouble comes from young, irresponsible black men. And a million black men gathered on the mall and said, well, not from us it doesn't. This is not irresponsible, what you see here today. And if we could get 100,000 or a million people on the mall, and nobody light a joint. Show them. We're not a bunch of kooks. And we don't want to break the law. We want to be within the law. We want the law to change. Because every administration faces that same nagging problem, that so many things kill so many people. I mean, alcohol kills hundreds of thousands. Tobacco, 400,000. The shitty, crappy food that people eat in this country kills hundreds of thousands. Doctors fucking up kill 100,000 people. Pot, zero. Only zero. And so what does every administration do? They have to do a new study. Because they don't have the balls to come out and say things should be checked. We got to study it again. They all do a study. It all comes back the same. It makes you eat cookie dough. That's the worst they can find. But it is amazing. Pot zero. If people don't start dying from this drug, it is never going to be legal. So if you want you all to start dying, I am willing to volunteer myself. Someone tried to kill me tonight. Legal. I love this place to look like a Georgia crematorium. I want to So President Bush said a few weeks ago that we have a new slogan and we should all get behind it, and I agree. And that's why I say to you tonight, but I hope you take what I say seriously, make change happen, and let's roll.
Bill Maher at the Normal Conference in San Francisco, past Normal Audio. You can link up to a lot of the 2006 conference audio on the Normal Events podcast. We're going to round out the show today with some great music. Here's Big B with the Cottonmouth Kings. Big B on the Suburban Noise record label. We have links to him today. Here's We Can Smoke.
So make yourself at home and go ahead and chill. There's nothing better than kicking it with
Big B and the Cottonmouth Kings with We Can Smoke. We have links to Big B right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Everyone, have a safe and fun weekend. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. If you listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.